It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brad Ruff. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to him. Older than I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Y'all ready for this?
Thank God it's...
here we go. Who's ready for it? Let's go, go, go into a sports weekend. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, Adam Lundy in the producer's chair. We almost are shoulder to shoulder once again today in the friendly confines of the 1380 The Fan studio. We've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, which we can both read the screen at the same time. One of the advantages of the small studio. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. What do you think, Colts fans? Chris Ballard pulled a Ballard last night. And, we'll hear more about that coming up in a minute. It is Pacers playoffs game 3. Oh, they're going to be pumped up down at Gainbridge Fieldhouse as Caitlin Clark revs the engine to fire up the crowd. Oh, that's going to just bring the house down. Wild environment.
Exciting.
And of course, no Giannis. Still waiting to hear on word on Chris Middleton. I don't know if they've made it official yet, whether he's in, he's out. We'll have to keep following that because the Pacers are actually going to be playing basketball while this show is still on.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
5:30.
5:30 tip. Yeah, the weekend's already started down in Indy, man. They've been tipping them and putting them down for the last hour or two. other news down in Indy, speaking of our capital, yesterday, while maybe all the focus is on the NFL draft and, of course, the Pacers playing their playoff game, with all that drama going on in Indianapolis, the mayor of Indianapolis decided that was the best time to slip in. Oh, we're actually submitting the official paperwork to apply for an MLS franchise. Indy 11, you're on your own. Mm. And it's like, wait a minute.
Right.
Why is this being done separately from the Indy 11?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what's going on, but that's going to be a fun debate within the community as far as whether it's the city's role to try to get a franchise in the MLS. And what it means to those that have developed a fan base or the team that developed a fan base in the Indy 11. We're going to have to eventually talk to Greg Regstraw about it because he's the guy that covers the Indy 11 and see what's happening in soccer down in the central part of the state. Yesterday, we had a chance to hang out at the Indy 500 Fan Fest. Hopefully, you had a chance to listen to the show yesterday. It was fantastic to get an opportunity to chat with IMS President Doug Bowles, who just came cruising up in his Corvette pace car.
Yeah, stylish.
Cool ride. Nice suit, too.
Oh, he looked great.
I mean, man, you didn't miss him when he came. He had a nice bright colored, was it a bluish?
Yeah,
with purple pinstriping? Or
it was like a checkered type deal, I think.
Yeah, we are not the ones to talk fashion.
No,
we need to get Scott Agnes, and he can talk about Prada. But actually, Doug Bowles came pulling in right about 5 o'clock or 5:15, and we had a chance to pull him in and have him on the show yesterday. If you didn't catch that, it's, of course, on our podcast page where you listen to all your favorite podcasts. You search for The Sports Rush with Brett Rump. And fun day. And Tommy Shegler then as our guest host.
Yeah.
Always great to hang out a little bit with Tommy Shegler. He's done such a terrific job with Parkview Sports Medicine and still a big avid sports fan. And I think just once in a while I'll just say, hey, Tommy, you ever think about maybe jumping on and sharing a studio for a day? And the funny thing was we were going to have him in the studio. We did not plan to have Tommy come down just because we were at the, you know, we were out in the public eye. And,
right.
And he has more of a face for television. And so we thought maybe it'll make our booth look a little better if Tommy Shegler's there. No, it actually had nothing to do with it. We had scheduled Tommy literally months ago to get on his calendar. He told me, he said, my schedule is just crazy. All the things he's responsible for. And so we were really glad that he took about an hour and a half of his time to join us yesterday. And it was great meeting some fans of the show. Tim, I don't know if you were there. You were trying to get back to the station. You had to produce TinCast Baseball last night. Mm-hmm. But Tim came up, had a lot of very nice things to say. So, Tim, we appreciate you. I joked with Tim, and I said, okay, I said, it's great you're listening to the show every day, but have you ever called in to play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia?
Mm.
And I think if I heard him right, and I didn't call him out, but I do think Tim's response was, I'll have to do that. It seems you're pretty beatable right now.
Oh,
kick a man while he's down.
That's not good.
Yeah, so hopefully we get a Tim to play Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia soon, but it was great to see him.
Hey, you got the win this week.
I know. I don't know what Tim was listening to.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I'm hot and cold, just like a Katy Perry song. But we had a fun time yesterday, and then earlier today I was out, and someone stopped me, told me they're a regular listener of the show, and just say they really enjoy it, how much they are glad that there's a spot where we've got sports that are actually local, and we don't have to hear about Dak Prescott, LeBron James, Tom Brady, or whatever national subject is the flavor of the day. But,
right.
You know, it seems like it's always Cowboys, Lakers, or something to do with the Patriots.
Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Aaron Rodgers is a big subject. Boy, the national people had to be upset when Rodgers got injured last year because they lost that opportunity to talk about Rodgers. But then they did do plenty of talk about Zach Wilson and what's his future. And
who cares?
Yeah, but see, what happens is sports are inherently local. I mean, most people grow up in a town where they cheer for their local team and, you know, a team that's geographically connected to you. Now, you know, our first producer of the Sports Rush, D.C. Hendricks, I don't know what happened to him because he was like a Seattle Mariners fan. I think he was a big Ichiro fan. And then he was a Denver Broncos fan. I don't know if it was Elway or who connected him with the Broncos. Mm. He was a Phoenix Suns fan. I mean, none of the fandoms that he had, none of the teams that he followed, made any sense geographically with being born and raised in Fort Wayne. But usually, sports are very localized. If you grow up, go to school here, you want to listen to the locals, high school sports. Of course, the colleges, a lot of people that live in this area went to IU, Purdue, maybe Notre Dame, Ball State. Mm-hmm. We try to keep you up to date on that.
Yeah.
You know, we know where the fandom is, and we're glad to bring it to you every 2 hours, 2 hours each day. I know I am. I mean, that's why we're here.
Absolutely. It was great talking to Doug Bowles yesterday, and he kind of mentioned about how when you do what you enjoy, it really doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, I thought there might be a marketing opportunity here for Doug Bowles because I thought, wherever you get your energy, man, if you can bottle it up or can it, and put Doug Bowles energy drink. Have you ever met a 57-year-old man with that kind of energy?
Oh, man, he was great. He was bright. He was peppy. He was greeting everybody with open arms. It was awesome.
Just, you know, 2 hours on the road, all I'm thinking about is, man, I just want to find a nice, comfortable chair. No, he's up and down just sprinting around through the
talking to all the media. 500 to,
just having a great time.
Oh, yeah.
And just as personable as can be. Every person coming up to him, getting a warm greeting. He didn't seem to be put off. And in some ways, not only is he the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but he also is a celebrity, you know, because he's seen on TV so much during the month of May that people see him and they're like, oh, my gosh.
I've seen you on TV.
Yeah, that's that crazy energetic guy.
Doug Bowles energy.
Who is, who's up from like 4 a.m. until midnight on race day.
Yeah.
Just working it.
Apparently he just goes with the old bean juice, old coffee.
Yeah, he said he's a big coffee drinker, but a lot of his energy just comes from the adrenaline that you get when you wake up in the morning and you know you're going off to do something you absolutely have a love and passion for. So that was fun. And once again, our podcast page, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, has yesterday's show posted, as each day is posted, usually within 30 to 60 minutes after the conclusion of the show. A little something called the NFL draft last night, Adam.
Oh, yeah?
I know you were working TinCast Baseball. Probably didn't get to follow it as closely as I did. I'm wondering how many people actually are locked in watching the draft? Or do you just watch it on your app, get the picks as they scroll through?
Right.
Because it is a tough watch. Because last night you had 4 hours of television, and basically about 7 or 8 minutes that really mattered if, like, you're a fan of the Colts. A bunch of other stuff going on. I felt like I had to watch, though, in case the Colts moved up or in case the Colts would happen to squeeze back into late first round. So I thought, I've got to watch just to see if the Colts get back in. And then, of course, the 4 hours goes by. I watch it for a good couple of hours after the Colts had made their pick. And the Colts never did get a low first-round pick. Like, I stayed up thinking Chris Ballard's going to come back up into the first round. But I was shocked, to say the least, over what the Colts did. I know that edge rusher was considered, quote, a position of need. But I don't think this makes sense at all for the Indianapolis Colts to take Leodu Ladu as the number 15 pick in the draft. First of all, medicals, rarely do you see a guy who's got as serious a medical history as he has. He was told to retire from football. And I don't care if that doctor was, you know, what do they call him, the online physician or virtual appointment where it's a COVID appointment so you don't actually see the guy.
Yeah.
The injury itself is very close to what we saw with Peyton Manning, and the Colts medical team was pretty convinced that Peyton Manning was not coming back to play, and the Colts move forward. And so I was very surprised that the Colts were so convinced that he's fine medically. But the fact that, you know, again, it's defense, it's defensive edge. How many defensive edge rushers is Chris Ballard going to take in the top two rounds and continue to have a track record that is an O for something? Because he's never really hit, and he's tried everything second round, third round. He's tried it in the first round. Kwity Paye is now the guy that's probably going to be out of a starting job. And then somebody out of the four that they've got on the roster right now is probably lost a spot on the team entirely. And there's a wide open position at wide receiver, and he said it's a deep draft. Here's my problem with the pick. It has nothing to do with the talent of the players selected. It has to do with the development of a football team that you want to build into a consistent Super Bowl contender. And if that's not your goal, get out of the business. That's what the goal is in the NFL. And we've got a blueprint of how to do it. The Colts, when they drafted Peyton Manning, they already had a couple of positions in place, but they really focused on making sure all the weapons were there. Offensive line was stable. They focused offense. If you remember back in 2003, 2004, 2005, the joke was you had to beat the Colts by scoring points. You had to outscore them. You couldn't stop that offense because the Colts built that success by building an offense that put up so many points that it took pressure off the defense. The defense didn't have to be great. You didn't have to have a really good defense combined with a really good offense. You had an elite offense combined with a very average defense. And right now, the Colts are a very average defense. And that may be overstating it even slightly. But it is an edge rusher that's killing them. They've got four different guys to run out there. Somebody ought to be able to do the job. But they're short at corner. They've lost, you know, Stephon Gilmore. Once he left, all of a sudden the Colts had to search for answers at corner. And what did Chris Ballard do? Drafted quantity. What did he get? Not enough talent. And so what has he done at edge rusher? He just keeps picking them, hoping that eventually, if you keep throwing it at the wall enough, somebody's going to stick. You've got to get the right guy. And one of the big things we thought going in last night was, would Chris Ballard choose this year to be aggressive and to go up and get an offensive skill player that could make a difference for Anthony Richardson? So after the Colts take the first defensive player of the draft off the board at number 15, Chris Ballard met the media, and he was asked exactly that about trading up before he eventually made the pick at 15.
We had some serious, serious discussions, yes, with big offers, by the way. So we made a push, just didn't, you got to get two to tango, man. Nobody was moving.
Were you going up for an offensive player?
Well, I mean, we were going up for a good player. Since I told you I thought we took the best defensive player, right. you can kind of put that together.
Now, do you believe nobody was moving? Because at number 10, somebody did move, and that movement at number 10 was before Brock Bowers had been selected. So where was he trying to go? Was he trying to get the wide receiver? Was he trying to get somebody to shake up at, Tennessee? Would they give up their spot for a divisional opponent? Probably not. The Falcons? Would have made sense for the Falcons to move. If they were taking Michael Penix Jr., the Falcons probably had a chance to slide out of 8, go to 15, and still get Penix. Or at least then try to trade back up.
Yeah.
But they stuck at 8 and really overdrafted significantly Michael Penix Jr., which was an odd draft pick anyway.
We'll have to talk about that move later.
But I'm sure the Colts didn't expect that to be the pick for the Falcons, and so they might have thought that pick would be for sale if they really went aggressively at it. Maybe the Falcons had decided, we know Penix is our man, we're not going to pass it up. Because if they would have gotten the Falcons spot at number 8, they would have had Rome Odunze on the board. Instead, the Falcons took Penix, and the Bears immediately followed with Rome Odunze.
Man, Williams to Odunze.
Yeah.
Look out for that.
Well, and the funny thing is they were working out together in L.A., ended up on the same flight, which they didn't realize they were on the same flight until they got to the airport and ended up on the same flight from L.A. to Detroit for the draft.
Oh, man.
They had some pictures posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
And so there's a connection there, a mutual respect between the two. They've become pretty good buds. And so I think that's going to work out really well. In fact, Chicago may have been the winner of the night.
Yeah.
But it's hard to lose with two top 10 picks. But it is the Bears. So they could have screwed it up somehow.
Yeah.
But Odunze goes with Caleb Williams, and the Bears get a tandem that probably can be together for a very long time. Then J.J. McCarthy gets picked up at number 10. But I just feel like if you really wanted to be aggressive, there might have been a taker in there. It's hard to believe that Ballard really went after somebody. He may have made a call and say, hey, what would it take?
But you don't think he really, really tried?
I don't think he put together. I mean, do you think Chris Ballard is going to put together 4 or 5 picks and call somebody and offer it?
No.
I'll tell you what the guy would hear is, hey, this is Chris Ballard. And the guy on the other end would say, what do you want, Chris? Thinking about making a deal. We're willing to give you. I mean, he would lock up. He could never say that he's giving you multiple picks for your one pick. I don't think it could happen. That's not Chris Ballard. There's no way it would have come out of his mouth. So I don't think he would have offered. I think maybe he would have put the feeler out, hey, we're interested in a spot. Let us know what it would take if you're willing to give it up. But that's not really being aggressive.
Right.
I mean, what's being aggressive is when you put a package together that you don't think there's any way they can say no to, and you call them up and say, this is what we're giving. He claims that's what they did. I don't buy it. I mean, I think if you want to move up, there's always a price.
Mm-hmm.
And the Colts just didn't meet the price. So what happens? You end up seeing what I think was almost the worst possible scenario for the Colts. Not only did all the quarterbacks go and the Colts weren't looking for a quarterback, but you would think that would maybe let somebody from that offensive skill set slip. The worst possible scenario for the Colts is everybody in the top 14 picks was essentially an offensive player, and most of them were skill position players, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and the tight end, Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
And so Bowers ends up going number 13, 2 picks before the Colts. I mean, that's criminal. You only had to move up 2 spots to go and get your guy, and they couldn't get it done. And so I'm upset. Chris Ballard, I think, completely dropped the ball. He had opportunities. He didn't. If he was going to trade up, he should have had a deal pretty much in place with somebody and say, okay, if this happens where the top 2 receivers go off the board in the top 4 or 5 picks, we want to make a deal. What's it going to take? And work the deal for the last week or two. But instead, the Colts sat back, waited at 15, end up with a defensive end. And I think as an edge rusher, they got a guy that's got a great resume. I mean, great reviews. It looks like he's going to be a good, solid player.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, Let's complete the deal on offense. Let's not get stuck with a mediocre offense and then happen to hope a mediocre defense comes up with a stop. I don't care if the defense gives up points if I know my offense is going to score every time you give me time.
I like that.
Remember with Peyton Manning, what would happen? You're like, I don't care if they score in the last 2 minutes as long as they leave Peyton enough time to get in field goal range or leave Peyton enough time to have a significant rally, because that's how good the Colts offense was.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of disappointed with where they ended up. And then to sit and watch what happened late in the first round, the Chiefs just de-pants the Bills. Unbelievable. The Chiefs get the win again over Buffalo. And this time they did it on draft night. Did you see this happen last night or hear about it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable that the Chiefs and Bills make a deal and the Bills are actually willing to trade with their arch nemesis and give them a player that they could have themselves used.
That's just strange.
I mean, Josh Allen needs weapons, and they gave Xavier Worthy over to Kansas City. Unbelievable.
Crazy.
I'm like, well, the Chiefs get a win, at least for that. They might not have been the winner of the first round, but they sure win with that deal, because they just took one away from a team that is one of their biggest threats in the AFC, and got a weapon that's going to come back to haunt that team for who knows how long. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. Give us your thoughts. Now to check in with what else is happening in the world of sports, we check today's top headlines with Adam Lundy.
All right. Thanks, Brett. If I can get my levels figured out here. The Indianapolis Colts first-round draft pick, edge rusher Leiatu Latu, was introduced to the media in Indianapolis just 30 minutes ago. Latu said that when he was out of the game with his injury, he studied guys like Aaron Donald, T.J. Watt, and Max Crosby. When asked for his first impressions of the Colts' defensive scheme, he had this to say, quote, "We don't blitz that much, and we kind of just let them rush."
That's about right. He could have a talk show with that kind of analysis.
That's a fair assessment. Former Michigan Wolverine and now Kansas Jayhawk Hunter Dickinson will return to Kansas for the 2024-25 season. He announced today the two-time second-team All-American last season averaged 17.9 points per game and 10.9 rebounds. And checking in on the latest with the Pacers and the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo was listed as doubtful yesterday after missing the first two games and then downgraded to out on the injury report today for the Bucks. And three-time All-Star Chris Middleton is still questionable as of right now for tonight's game. He did participate in warm-ups.
Wow. That could be a big difference, because you lose a anchor of their playoff runs, and then you have the other guy that really was the Robin to Giannis being the Batman, and he might be out. A crazy crowd. I don't see how the Pacers lose and the bettors keep moving the line the Pacers' way, which means the money is also coming in on the Pacers. So they're adjusting for injury, and they're adjusting for the balance of money being very heavy on the Pacers in this game three.
I'm looking forward to another potential big game from Pascal Siakam tonight with another game with Giannis out. I think the Pacers are kind of realizing that nobody on the Bucks can stop Pascal.
Yeah, and it's time for Halliburton to have a breakout. He's been struggling over the last month a little bit. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Chris Ballard basically admitted to us after the draft last night that he did not get the guy he really wanted and coveted for his first pick. You know, it's one of those things that when they kind of indicate they made an aggressive move to go up and get a guy and then couldn't get a dance partner, and then he was asked about it being a defensive player, offensive player, he laughed and said, well, we got the best defensive player, so figure. So it basically says Chris Ballard wanted to go up and get an offensive skill player. That was his plan. And what did he end up with? He ended up with a defensive player, edge rusher, totally not on script. So if he's going to tell us anything that's a story, even similar to saying we got our guy or we're really happy, no, you're not. That wasn't your plan. You had a plan to get one of the offensive players, and your idea that you went in with was, depending on how those first three or four picks went, then you would kind of take a quick measurement and say, okay, are they going to fall far enough for us to sit here at 15, or do we have to be aggressive? And by that point, he couldn't find somebody to dance with, even if he did do it. And I guess, you know, there's speculation. It's easy to cover your or a CYA, let's put it that way. Everybody knows what CYA is. And make it look like you made an attempt to go up and get Anthony Richardson a weapon. But anyway, that's the way the draft went. Give us your thoughts. 46862 on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. Crazy thoughts in the first round. Of course, Atlanta taking Michael Penix Jr. That seemed to be kind of a crazy pick after they just got Kirk Cousins.
100 mil.
And Kirk Cousins not at all too pleased.
I don't blame him.
You know what?
I can see both sides of it.
The draft is a very fluid process, right?
Right.
And you cannot talk to your scouts, talk to your bosses, discuss what your best option is, and at the same time say, well, we need to call the guy who's currently on our roster that has that position. Sometimes I think quarterbacks are just overly spoiled. They make all the money. They expect the best locker. They, and so I'm like, you know what? Why does anybody owe you an explanation? If they want to go out and get a player that's going to fight for your spot, that's what sports is. And that's what you're supposed to deal with. The problem is everybody in professional sports has always been the best player on their team, probably from the time they started playing sports. They don't know what it's like to have to compete for a job. Or all of a sudden some kid moves into town, joins your school district, and he just happens to play the same position you do. Okay, it happens. And I think... I think number one, I think it's an overreaction. He shouldn't go public with it. If he's upset, talk to the team directly. Don't take it out to social media. Clearly, they wanted to get it posted out on social media how upset he was. My thought is you're an older quarterback who hasn't won anything to make you deserving of having any kind of say in who your team is going to pick or not pick. And if it fell into a position that the Falcons decided, hey, maybe we should get our insurance policy. The Kansas City Chiefs did it. The Green Bay Packers did it. And it's worked out pretty well for both of them. I think Alex Smith at some point today probably understands the Chiefs, even though at the time he probably thought they were doing him wrong. The Chiefs did the right thing.
Yeah, it's just that the Packers had already had Rodgers for a while. The Chiefs had already had their quarterback before Mahomes. This is a guy that they just signed in the offseason for $100 million-plus dollars. And then as soon as you go and sign him for that, then you go and bring in his potential replacement. I mean, I see both sides. I see wanting to have a fight in the competition and in the quarterback room and, you know, planning for the future. But it does put them in an awkward situation this season.
That is a division that is completely up for grabs. Right now, Atlanta might be the favorite with Kirk Cousins at quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
All Atlanta wants to do is say, where are the holes we have and the what ifs? Because we don't want to screw up a very winnable division. And one of the questions was backup quarterbacks. They decided, let's lock it up, and we've got our future starter and a quality backup all at the same time. Now, here's the thing that, and they did try to call him. When they made the decision in the room, they did send word to him before the pick was announced that they were taking a quarterback. So, sometimes that's as early as you can do it. But the... But the whole thing that's surprising about it is that you take an older quarterback who has 2 years, 3 years, maybe 4 years still in the tank, right?
Right.
And then you draft a guy to replace him long term, not play right away. And age is already one of the negatives against Michael Penix Jr. What is he, 24?
Mm-hmm.
24, 25, whatever he is.
Yeah.
And so you've already drafted an old rookie. And now you're going to basically sit him until he's 27, 28 years old before he even starts his first game. And so that might be one of the stranger transactions last night that happened. Patriots, did they get their guy? I know Drake May was a favorite of Tommy Shegler. He talked about it yesterday. I don't know. I'm very mixed on Drake May. In fact, when I look at Drake May, I'm like, did they really upgrade much over Mac Jones? I think they've got a real possibility in New England that they just got Mac Jones 2.0, a guy that's going to make some mistakes, that could be fragile from a confidence standpoint, may not have the weapons, is going to play for a defensive coach, a new rookie coach that's a defensive coach. I don't know if it's the best situation for Drake May. And so I question the Patriots pick. And then the Raiders, as we mentioned, took Brock Bowers. Two picks before the Colts took him. And that's kind of an odd pick. Yes, Brock Bowers clearly was the best player available, especially on the offensive side at that point. But they just took Michael Mayer last year.
Mm-hmm.
They got a really good tight end.
Yeah.
They've got other needs. And again, that's that temptation. You know right. what? It goes back to the grocery store, you know, story where you go into the grocery store believing you're there to pick up the milk and you walk out with a gallon of ice cream. And then you get home and you realize you still don't have milk. It's kind of, you know, you just couldn't resist the temptation. Brock Bowers was there. Oh, man, this guy's a good player. We're going to take him. And, you know, and Adam, we've talked about it, too, with men's college basketball right now.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Woodson a little bit in this realm where you end up with somebody who's a terrific individual talent, comes with four or five stars, but do they fit with the rest of the roster? Are they the right guy for your team? And that's really the question on the Brock Bowers pick to the Raiders. And then, like I said, the Chiefs, I think Xavier Worthy is a weapon. Mm-hmm. Now, I know some people are concerned about his size. He's not going to last in the league. But I'm telling you what, at 4.21, I mean, this is like just like what you do with Forrest Gump. Just tell him, get outside and run. Run, Xavier, run.
Run, Xavier, run.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to just run by people. But the other thing he does, and here's the thing, he doesn't have to catch a ball the entire game to be a weapon. And that's what some people are confused by. With the Kansas City offense, he doesn't have to catch a single ball. And he could still be a key to the offense. Because Andy Reid will figure out ways to use him to create focus on him or fear of him getting over the top and open up more space in the middle. Who does that give an advantage to? Oh, none other than Travis Kelce. So it's not, does Xavier Worthy jump into the Chiefs offense and catch four or five balls a game and a couple of them over the top for big gains? He might help in special teams where the Chiefs have not had a real solid constant and could be part of the return game. Essentially what they're doing is they're turning back the clock to Tyreek Hill. And they're trying to get a Tyreek Hill back on the roster. And, you know, that quick speed guy that just can blow right past you. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Give us your thoughts. Also, coming up on the show, Detroit showed out last night. Man, cold weather city. You know what I wonder? Did the NFL tell the networks covering the event, do not let it look cold? Did you see anybody that wore a coat on TV last night?
I wasn't watching on TV.
Nobody wearing a coat. Now, it's in the 40s in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and probably mid to lower 40s by the time the draft was over at midnight or whatever. Nobody had a coat on. I mean, they had suits.
Huh.
But I'm like, why is no one wearing a coat? Are they all trying to prove they're a bigger man than the guy that's all on the set with them? Because you know me, Adam, I'd be wearing a hoodie, gloves, coat.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be covered up. All right, we'll take a break. We got Dylan Sin going to join us on the other side. It's Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush Friday edition. It is mid-NFL draft coming up tonight, rounds 2 and 3, and tomorrow, 4 to the finish, and then the signing of the undrafted free agents. By Monday, we will have a full analysis of the Colts draft. Maybe we'll look at the Bears. Lions didn't do too bad last night either.
Lions.
46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. You know who didn't have a good night last night?
Who?
Tin Caps.
Oh, no.
Especially their offense. They got to draft some weapons, maybe get a wide out, tight end, running back. Somebody's got to score some points because right now the Tin Caps are just not doing it offensively.
Wide out or a
tight end? Am I on the wrong sport?
Might be.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, decent pitching, but man, you can't win when you're only getting two or three hits or when one guy in the whole lineup is hitting. Joining us to talk some Tin Caps baseball and more is Dylan Sin from the Journal Gazette, who, by the way, has a brand new phone. Love it. Thanks, Dylan. How are you?
I'm good, Brett. I'm good.
Listen
to you for my brand new phone.
Listen to that phone. Oh, my gosh. Can you just talk for a few minutes so we can just sit back and maybe, you know, grab a smoke? Or,
yeah,
oh, I can't
you
do that.
I just vamp for a while.
Oh, my gosh, Dylan. This is just heavenly to hear that. By the way, last night, Tin Caps lost their third straight in the series, and I think I laid it out there. It's amazing when, you know, guys go through slumps. in a baseball season. Nobody, you know, nobody rides it like a giant wave forever. But the whole team seems to be in one right now, except Devin Ortiz.
Yeah, I mean, he's Devin Ortiz. The Tin Caps had two hits last night. Devin Ortiz had both of them, that was pretty much it in terms of offense. He's batting .327. I don't think anyone else on the team is over .300 right now. I could be forgetting someone, so apologies if I am. But no, they were all hitting pretty well coming off of that Dayton series. This is how quickly things can change in baseball. Is everyone was going relatively well at the end of that Dayton series. They won four games in a row, and then you come home to Parkview Field. You get a day off on Monday, and suddenly the bats are cold, and you've lost three in a row. You have eight hits in three games, and it just hasn't been a good start to this series. So you're trying to figure things out on the fly and salvage a couple games this weekend.
You know, it's kind of interesting that the Tin Caps, this is basically following a script that's been written over the last couple of weeks. The Tin Caps are not good on an early to midweek game, but when they get to the weekend, they play pretty good baseball. I don't know if there's a key to that, but it's been fact. I mean, they've done it 3 weeks in a row, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they lost the first two games against Great Lakes to open the season, then won the third to finish the series. They lost the first two against Lake County, then won the next three to finish the series. They lost the first two against Dayton, then won the next four to finish the series. So you're hoping to see that pattern repeat this week, and it should help that the weather is going to be a little bit nicer this weekend, too. Some nice weather, maybe get the bats going a little bit. Just get some runs on the board. It feels like one of those things where if the Tin Caps, you start to see one or two or three hits in a row, the floodgates are going to open. It's just one of those things like basketball. Just need to see one go in. That's what the Tin Caps are looking for right now. Just need to see one go in.
Dylan Sin joining us here on the Sports Rush. Dylan, what's been the big story for you lately? I know you cover so many different things with Purdue, football, basketball, Notre Dame. I think you might have been tied up doing something else on the day of the Notre Dame spring game.
Yes, I was. I did get married on the day of the Notre Dame spring game. Actually, kickoff was the exact same time as my fiance, now my wife, was walking down the aisle.
Hey!
So that's been one of my main focus lately. But other than that, my main focus has been kind of following Indiana basketball and their transfer saga this offseason as they try to build basically a new team for next year and kind of wash away some of the bad feelings that came with this year. So it's been now that I'm married, that is my full-time focus.
The other storyline, of course, that's been ongoing during the offseason, the Indiana Hoosiers basketball team, and they've started to put some pieces together. Any buzz that you're hearing, any word? Luke Goody apparently has been down in Bloomington the last 2 days, and I haven't seen anything official yet out of Luke Goody or the Hoosiers.
Yeah, nothing official yet. There are a lot of signs that seem to point to him not headed toward Indiana yet, but things heading in that direction. I think I think Hoosiers fans should probably feel relatively good about that. Although, obviously, again, nothing official yet. And that would be a huge move for Indiana, a guy that can come off the bench and play really good defense, knows where to be on the court, and of course, hit three pointers. 39% 3-point shooter is Luke Goody. Was one of the best in the Big Ten last year. So, and then of course having a kid from Indiana, which there have not been many of those coming through the program here in the last couple of years, outside of obviously Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, who were there before. So, it would be a great addition to the team if it does indeed happen, and it would just be another sign that Indiana is reloading for next season.
Is James Blackman the last Fort Wayne product that went to IU? I'm trying to remember. I may be completely whiffing on this.
Well, his brother VJ Blackman was there for a little bit as well. But outside of that, pretty much, yes. That's been about the size of it for Indiana. They have not had a ton of success recruiting Fort Wayne in recent years. So having Luke Goody down there would be a would be a feather in the cap for Northeast Indiana.
Do you have an idea whether the Hoosiers originally recruited? I got asked this question, and I said I don't think they were real aggressive in going after him. Did they recruit him when he was in high school?
I don't get the I don't get the impression they were particularly aggressive in going after him. That was during the Archie Miller era, and I don't think he was a top priority for them. If you'll recall, he wasn't a super highly ranked recruit. He was borderline top 100. I think Archie was going after guys who were ranked a little higher than that. Sometimes the detriment of the team that he was building, because he didn't really get many of those guys either outside of Romeo Langford and Trace Jackson Davis. I don't get the impression that Indiana was super high on Luke Goody out of high school. Obviously, different coach, different circumstances. Now he fits exactly what you're trying to do. And Indiana, I'm sure, is happy to have a second chance of landing him now.
Nylund, the test run is over. We wanted to get you on the show just to see if we could enjoy this phone conversation. And you have passed with flying colors. It was excellent, man. What happened to the old phone? Did you trade it in? Did you destroy it? Did you give it away? What happened to the old phone?
I've been calling around to antique stores to see if any of them want it. So I will keep you updated on whether it goes on display as the oldest phone in existence.
Yeah, you might need to track down Andrew Luck and see if he's still looking for a new phone. Dylund, appreciate you, man. Are we going to be out at the ballpark tonight?
I will be there. Thanks, Brett.
I'll see you out there. Dylund Sin, Journal Cassette, joining us here on the Sports Rush guest line. And for those that have listened to the show for a while and we have kind of fought with Dylund's phone, sometimes we don't know. We're not in the most modern technological building here. It's been around for a long time out in the cornfields south of town. But so we never really know if it's truly his phone, but the pattern had been set that we'd had some issues trying to get really good quality call. Man, that was a dream right there.
That was awesome, and we just really enjoy having Dylund on as a guest.
Great knowledge.
In the past, we had just kind of put up with the phone issues.
Yeah, great coverage, great knowledge, and it's like, well, we'll try to hear what we can because what we're hearing is really good. But, man, that was good. That was good. I feel so good about that. There wasn't like breaking news overnight that we wanted to have done. We just wanted to check out his new phone. We found out earlier this week he got a new phone. We're like, well, I don't know what we're going to talk to you about, but you got to come on this show because if you got a new phone, that's enough. That's newsworthy.
You didn't care about the tin caps.
Yeah.
You didn't care about Indiana.
I already know about the tin caps. I could just talk about the tin caps, but we'll let Dylund talk over that new phone of his. Oh,
fancy.
Yeah.
Nice
that
stuff.
Is awesome stuff. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We've got to talk about what's ahead in the NFL draft. We know what happened last night, but what do the Colts need to do with tonight's two picks?
Oh, man.
Yeah, we'll address that. We'll not only talk about it ourselves, we'll even invite Kent Sterling into the conversation. Kent does not have a new phone, but he's but he's always sounded great, and we look forward to talking to him about 5:30 this afternoon. It's the Sports Rush. We take you home on the 5 o'clock hour coming up next on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.